Happy St. Patrick's Day. This is Sandra Ferguson with the Friday, March 17th, 2017 edition of the News Gazette. And we'll begin on the front page with a piece from the State Farm Center called "We'll Be Packing Them In. Most Local Hotels Booked Up April 28th through 30th" by Paul Wood, Champaign. Expect two-hour-plus shows and lots of money rolling in when Garth Brooks plays State Farm Center in four shows over 3 days. One of his hits was "Big Money," and that goes for our local economy, with people staying in hotels and shelling out bucks in restaurants on days and nights of April 28th through 30th here. $1 million in economic impact is possible for all four shows, said Terry Riefsteck of Visit Champaign County. I counted each concert separately because I don't want to assume people are staying all those nights in a hotel. Most likely, out-of-towners will spend one overnight, she said. She said hotels are already nearly full in Champaign-Urbana. At the nearby Hilton Garden Inn, front desk attendant Nahum Corona said April 29th and 30th are already sold out. Another Brooks song, "Beer Run," a duet with George Jones. Yes, alcohol will be served at the concerts, said State Farm Center's Brad Swanson. People are likely to be living it up because Brooks gives a generous show. In each of three March concerts in Albany, New York, Brooks thrilled 15,000 strong at the Times Union Center in more than two-hour performances. After a brief video package, he opened with "Baby, Let's Lay Down and Dance," followed by "Rodeo" and "Two of a Kind Workin' on a Full House," the Times Union reported. At the Albany County Convention and Visitors Bureau, Director of Marketing Molly Belmont said the county is working on an economic impact study of the recent concerts. Anecdotally, all the shows were phenomenal. You could see crowds of traffic on the streets, she said. By the end, all the shows sold out, with people from all over the region spending money here. On March 7th through 9th, 1997, 48,633 tickets were sold for Brooks' show at the Assembly Hall. Riefsteck said cities can expect more tax revenue in a month that also includes Roger Ebert's Film Festival and Christie Clinic Illinois Marathon. She said the hotel-motel tax is the bigger impact, but you'll also see it in food and beverage taxes. She estimated $25,000 in additional local taxes per concert and more than $100,000 over the course of the long weekend. Most of our major hotels appear to be sold out right now, she said. Today it looks like only five hotels still have availability then. The local tourism industry couldn't have handled much more. It's a good thing we moved the marathon for another weekend, Riefsteck said. Rumors had been that Memorial Stadium was considered for the concerts, with more than four times as many seats as State Farm Center. The stadium would have been really something, Riefsteck said. Brooks is performing next week in Philadelphia. And the next piece is about the Urbana mayoral race. Candidates Lay Out Their Priorities by Natalie Wickman. Mayoral candidates Diane Marlin, a Democrat, and Rex Bradfield, a Republican, faced off Thursday in their first debate with 2 weeks to go until the April 4th election. The candidates hold similar views in some instances. Both want to hire a city administrator, and both favor increasing the size of the police force to what it deems adequate. In fact, in his closing statement, Bradfield said some of Marlin's platforms are ones he argued for in his two previous mayoral runs. He noted those attempts and his lack of experience in local government. I first ran because I was very concerned about the direction Urbana was going in, and it changed dramatically in 2007 when the city administrator was fired, Bradfield said. This candidacy is not about me. This is about people like me who really like Urbana and what it's offered us over the years. Now there, like myself, in retirement, and you're scared at my age of either losing your health or being taxed out of your home. Bradfield said his top priorities include business development and the tax base, with social issues taking more of a back seat. According to Marlin, her candidacy focuses on economic development, public safety, and encouraging increased connections and understanding between residents of different neighborhoods. We get sliced into our neighborhoods, she said. It's not sliced, it was siloed, she said. We get siloed into our neighborhoods, she said. To achieve economic development, Marlin said she will meet with current and former city stakeholders to ask what their specific needs are. Bradfield said the city can attract major companies by developing ad hoc committees with representatives from the city, university, and state, as well as developers, designers, contractors, bankers, and investors. Among the other issues discussed, the Carl lawsuit. Urbana is awaiting the result of a state Supreme Court case against Carl Hospital over its status as a property tax exempt charity care provider. Bradfield called the lawsuit a huge mistake and a bad look for a city to be suing one of its largest employers. Who is going to replace the charity Carl does if you take their tax money? He said. Marlin said she supports the suit because it addresses fairness to taxpayers and could lead to law changes. I expect the Illinois Hospital Association to be rewriting language for tax exemptions, Marlin said. The focus should be on replacing a badly written law on the books now. Proposed landmark hotel redevelopment. Developers came before the City Council this week to pitch turning Lincoln Square's landmark hotel into a Hilton Tapestry boutique hotel. Their proposal has the city pitching in $9.5 million in bonds issued post-construction. Bradfield called it a waste of money and said he would like to develop Lincoln Square in a different direction that has nothing to do with the hotel. Marlin said she supports development at the hotel's location, but has several questions about the proposal. Council is still waiting to get the numbers, Marlin said. If the numbers don't work, then we can't do this project. And the next article is called CU Put on AARP Age-Friendly List. Distinction indicates cities working to be more retiree-friendly. By Deborah Pressey. Champaign-Urbana is the second community in Illinois being added to an age-friendly network of places to live. Age-Friendly Champaign-Urbana, a local group working on the initiative, was notified of acceptance into the AARP Age-Friendly Communities Network, according to Wendy Bartlow, a proposal development and community outreach specialist at the University of Illinois Center on Health, Aging, and Disability. The Age-Friendly Communities program was launched by the World Health Organization to help communities prepare for an aging population, and the AARP is the representative for the program in the United States. Members in the network means elected leaders have made the commitment to actively work toward making their community a great place for people of all ages, according to AARP. It doesn't mean the community is currently age-friendly or a great place to retire. The Champaign-Urbana joined Evanston in Illinois as part of a network of about 150 communities in this network in the United States. We're hoping to address the needs of older people in the community and make it a better place to live, Bartlow said. Defining all those needs is a job still underway, she said. The Champaign-Urbana Planning Group conducted a survey of 500 people over 50, and the results haven't yet been analyzed by experts. Once that's done, an action plan will follow, Bartlow said. This is really just the beginning of being age-friendly, said Urbana Community Development Director Libby Tyler, who is part of the planning group. Local officials see the community as already being a great place to age and believe being part of the network will be a chance to make it even more welcoming, Tyler said. Urbana is already designated a friendly community for bicyclists and pedestrians, and this is a further effort to make it a very livable community, Mayor Laurel Pressing said. We want to be a great community where people can be successful from birth to their golden years, said Ben Leroy, an associate planner with Champaign, who is also working with age-friendly Champaign Urbana. There's a lot about Champaign Urbana that makes it a community where people want to stay as they age, and the age-friendly initiative represents a commitment on the part of the community to look at the many ways to make advances, he said. Tyler and retired University of Illinois Administrator Kathleen Holden said the idea for launching an age-friendly community initiative in CU was originally brought back here from a conference. Age-friendliness involves addressing all kinds of quality of life issues, according to Holden. For example, she said, the timing of pedestrian crossing signals at intersections can make a difference in whether older adults can safely get across the street, and the right placement of park benches can allow for adequate rest for an older adult out walking. Another big consideration is the impact of isolation on older adults and creating more social opportunities, Holden said. As we get older, our world shrinks in terms of people we know, she said. Still, other issues to look at are transportation, since many older adults no longer drive, housing, and health care, she said. One initiative already in action by age-friendly Champaign-Urbana has been partnering with local agencies to offer a series of pop-up events around the community called Connections Cafe. They include free coffee, free tech support for cell phones and handheld devices, free blood pressure checks, and a chance to learn something new about community resources and wellness opportunities. And here are some facts. 1 in 3, how many Americans are over 50 years old? 2030, that's the year 1 out of 5 people in the United States are projected to be age 65 or older. 87% is the percentage of people 65 plus who want to stay in their current homes and communities as they age. And we'll turn now to the opinions page and begin with an editorial called Plugging Away on Prisons. State officials are taking a series of baby steps aimed at ensuring that only those people who need to be in prison are in prison. Shortly after Governor Bruce Rauner took office in January 2015, he made it clear that there are too many people in Illinois prisons. The governor established a goal of reducing the state's prison population by 25% by 2025 and appointed a commission made up of legislators, law officers, and representatives of the judicial system to study the issues and make recommendations for change. Last week, Governor Rauner signed another in a series of bills aimed at implementing the commission's recommendations. The bill, SB 2872, is aimed at helping to rehabilitate those already behind bars by offering them expanded opportunities to participate in prison programs. The most significant aspect of the legislation is that it expands the good time credit that inmates can receive on their sentences if they participate in programs aimed at helping them become successful after they are released. Prison, too often, is a revolving door of inmates who are sentenced, serve their time, and then are released and then resentenced to prison after they commit new crimes. This is a difficult cycle to break, particularly for those individuals who have come from impoverished backgrounds or have little education. Further, offenders of a certain age are likely to continue to commit new crimes until they grow out of their criminal propensity. This measure is aimed at assisting inmates who have participated in prison programming to the point that they are ineligible to earn additional good time off their sentences. Not all inmates will be eligible, just those who are considered likely to benefit from additional opportunities. The governor, as he has done on other issues, has embraced an aggressive approach on this issue. He insists that too many people are in prison, and he may well be correct about that. But the difficulty for prosecutors and judges is determining which defendants need to be locked to ensure public safety, and which would be best served by a probation sentence that carries strict conditions. The legislation also goes beyond criminal defendants to address the victims of criminal behavior. The legislation requires the Illinois Criminal Justice Information Authority, a research agency, to provide planning and technical assistance to high-crime communities in which those victimized by the criminal element experience trauma. Identifying changes that result in fewer people in prison is particularly difficult. While there will always be a criminal element, the best means of ensuring law-abiding behavior is to maintain a strong, vibrant economy that produces jobs and proper education and training that allow individuals to exercise their potential and see meaningful opportunities of a better life. Illinois is sadly lacking a jobs-generating economy and good training and educational opportunities for all. If legislators really want to do something to address prison issues, they might try cooperating on education and jobs issues, like they did on this prison measure. And now, in the From Our Readers section, we'll begin with a piece written by Scott Siechen, that's S-I-E-C-H-E-N, of Champaign, and it's called Three Incumbents Best for Parkland. I am honored to serve as chairman of the Natural Sciences Department at Parkland College, but I write only for myself to endorse the three incumbents in the Parkland College Board of Trustees elections: Bianca Green, 2-year seat; Greg Knott; and Dana Trimble, 2 of 3 6-year seats. Attending many board meetings gives one insight into the complexity of issues the board must address. It can give understanding of the trustees' concerns, abilities, and dedication. Trustee Green's legal acumen often leads her to ask incisive questions about issues before the board. Her careful consideration is needed on Parkland's board. Trustee Knott's consistent focus on students as Parkland's most important constituency has helped clarify for me how we can best serve our community. Trustee Trimble is board chairman. His even-handed treatment of this position is precisely what Parkland needs in these turbulent times. The budget impasse in Springfield has presented dire challenges to higher education and an existential threat to several institutions. The fiscally responsible stance taken by the board, though occasionally painful, has helped ensure Parkland's ability to serve District 505 in perpetuity. I urge readers to vote for the incumbents running for re-election on April 4th. Bianca Green, Greg Knott, and Dana Trimble. And that again was written by Scott Siechen of Champaign. The next From Our Readers piece is written by Jim Hayes of Champaign, and it's called Bar Owners Could End Unofficial. So Scott Cochran says he would do away with unofficial St. Patrick's Day if he could. In fact, he says, as far as I'm concerned, I've wanted it to go away for several years. In my mind, he is all talk, no action. If he really wanted to take a step to stop unofficial, he would close his 3 bars on Friday and Saturday of unofficial week. But we all know that will never happen. If he and the other campus area bar owners would close for those 2 days, an official would dry up. Until the campus area bar owners decide to close their bars during unofficial, then they are publicly stating that the size of their bank accounts is more important than the health and safety of the students. It is time for Cochrane and the other campus bar owners to put a stop to this black eye on our community. They claim that they can't, but I think otherwise. They can stop it if they want to. Their words say one thing, but their actions say something else. And that again is written by Jim Hayes of Champaign. The next piece is written by Carl Sperer, Sperer, of Mahomet, and it's called Men Should Pay for Prenatal Care. On March 10th, U.S. Representative John Shimkus, Republican from Collinsville, made this public statement. Men should not have to pay for prenatal health care. Oh, really? The outcry against the statement has been overwhelming. Here's why. The premise of insurance works is not on an a la carte salad bar. The concept of all insurance is the majority of people buying it may never use it. This provides benefits for the other members of the pool of insured when they need it. My premium pays for your hospital bills. Men have a part in making the babies for which the insurance is used. Women pay for men's prostate care for men. Women do not have a prostate. If anyone has a complaint about how insurance works, it would be women. A Christian or a generally compassionate person wants all children to be as healthy as possible. Not only is that the right thing to do, there also are huge benefits to society. Children grow up, they work and pay taxes. Children become doctors, police, and firefighters. They will build our houses, fix our roads, start new businesses. You name it. Children are a vital part of our future. In fact, they are our future. I am going to soon officially announce my candidacy to run against Representative Shimkus in 2018. In the meantime, if you have ideas, issues, concerns, and aspirations, please contact me at 217-586-7809, my office, or 217-841-3419, my cell. And that again was written by Carl Sperer of Mahomet. And the last from our reader's piece is written by Karen Aram of Urbana, and it's called Close the Prisons, Treat the Addicted. Len Gingrich's recent letter suggesting the undocumented are crossing the borders of Arizona from Mexico to distribute illegal drugs to American communities is, as usual, targeting the usual suspects, that being the poor and those unable to defend themselves. Associating the undocumented with drug dealers and criminals is a form of cruelty, vilifying those we wish to dispose of. If we seriously wish to eradicate this country's drug problems, we need to target those responsible for the distribution and their corporate masters. We need to end the drug wars and treat drug addiction as the health issue that it is, as was done successfully in Portugal. We need to stop the incarcerations and close down many, if not most, of the prisons across the nation. U.S. government involvement in the drug trade is well known, as stated in the April 2016 Harper's article, Legalize It All, by Dan Baum, Whiteout in Counterpunch by Jeffrey St. Clair and Alfred McCoy's The Politics of Heroin in Southeast Asia, 1974. And, of course, there's the Iran-Contra affair. See page 41 of the December 1988 Kerry Committee Report to the U.S. Senate. And that again was written by Karen Aram of Urbana. And now in the history section, in area history, in 1917, an unidentified thief alleged to have stolen $60 worth of clothing from Chlorfine Brothers was pursued for a half mile through the Champaign Business District, Among those chasing the thief was Sheriff Harry Evans. In 1967, Springfield High School students marched on the state capitol to protest the school being allotted only 1,238 tickets for their game with Champaign. The school had an enrollment of about 2,400 students. Students protested the policy that sent tickets to state legislators. In 2002, Illinois basketball players got 6 complimentary tickets to their second-round NCAA tournament game with Creighton at the United Center in Chicago. Online, similar tickets were going for $300 apiece, but players were prohibited from selling their tickets. And international history, today's highlight, on March 17, 1942, 6 days after departing the Philippines during World War II, General Douglas MacArthur arrived in Australia to become Supreme Commander of Allied Forces in the Southwest Pacific Theater. And in sports, Finke rates All-State nod. Champaign Central wing Tim Finke led the area contingent named to the Associated Press's Class 3A and 4A boys basketball All-State teams released on Thursday. Finke landed a spot on 3A's first team, the only area athlete on either the 3A or 4A first or second teams. Danville point guard Kendall Moore was an honorable mention selection in 4A, while Mark Smith from Edwardsville, an Illinois recruiting target, and Jeremiah Tillman from East St. Louis, an Illinois signee, were both on 4A's first team. Javin Pickett from Belleville East, another Illinois signee, was on 4A's second team. And in baseball, Champaign Central 2, Villa Grove Heritage 0. Dom Erlinger threw a no-hitter, the 41st in Central history, to lead the host Maroons to win in their season opener at McKinley Field, and the right-hander also established a new program standard. Erlinger's scoreless innings stake reached 31 consecutive innings, dating back to last season, thanks to Thursday's outing. Erlinger passed 1940 graduate Harvey Ditter in the record books, as Ditter held the previous record at 29 innings. Erlinger also contributed a hit and an RBI, while Isaac Heaton supplied an RBI single for the Maroons, 1-0. Talon Rohrer and Cole Alvis combined on a three-hitter for the Hawks, 0-1. And we'll take a short break now and then return with the second half hour of the Friday, March 17th, 2017 edition of the News Gazette. I'm Sandra Ferguson. Please stay tuned.